listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy benefit managers, better known as PBMs, are responsible for negotiating payment rates for a large share of prescription drugs distributed in the United States. Recently, state Medicaid systems, policymakers, and national pharmacy associations have expressed concern that certain PBMs' business practices may not be consistent with public policy goals to improve the value of pharmaceutical spending. This podcast series is all about PBM reform. Listen to the discussions, share these podcasts, and help build a new pharmacy payer system which supports our independent community pharmacies, encourages fair and transparent competition in the marketplace, and most importantly, is designed to deliver the best patient care.
Welcome to the PBM Reform Podcast here on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. I'm your host, Breck Rice, and I am super excited this morning to have a guest that is an expert in the industry, specifically around benefits. And we're excited to talk about how the PBMs are driving up the costs of premiums for employee benefits. And today's guest is the president of Employers Committed to Controlling Health Insurance Costs, or ECCHIC, the president and founder, Howard Danzig. And wanted to welcome you, Howard, to the program today. And have a couple of questions for you, but how's your day going so far?
It's going fine. We're in St. Louis. We had a nice storm yesterday, and we have no storm today. So you got us on a good day.
That's excellent. Well, there's more moisture headed your way. I'm out in Phoenix, and it rained all night last night. So there's more moisture headed your way. Hopefully, it'll be something light and fluffy like snow and not ice. I know how bad those ice storms are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I spent some time in the Mid-South, about 12 years in the Mid-South, and that will shut down the city because that ice builds up on the power lines and can snap them and brings down trees and all kinds of havoc. So, but yeah, hopefully this next storm will be a light, fluffy snow for you instead of ice.
We hope so. I hope it's just rain. We'll do it.
Rain is good. Rain is good. We enjoy that here in the desert for sure. So before we dive into some questions for you, Howard, I wanted to cover a couple of things in review. And I'm going to pull up a slide here. According to the U.S. News and World Report, prescription drug costs are the fastest growing, cost in healthcare system today. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute and what's driving those costs. Here is looking at the actual versus projected. So back in 2020, they projected that the prescription drug spend would be just over $400 billion. The actual spend was $539 billion. And then if you look here in 2022, $633.5 billion was the drug spend. What does that mean for families? Well, in 2023, the average family coverage was almost $24,000 a year, compared to $17,500 back in 2015. And as you look down here, the average family premiums have increased 22% since 2018 and 47% since 2013. So, Howard, you're in this industry. You help keep those costs in line. What's the number one reason in your mind of what has created that 22% increase?
I think the main reason is that we're looking at all the wrong issues. I mean, the key issue up there was coverage, meaning premium. We're using premium to pay for healthcare and prescriptions. And the premium is really, in many cases, a cost-plus proposition. We're talking about pharmacy as a component. This is just as an example. The prescription utilization is essentially a fixed cost across the board because almost all prescriptions are maintenance drugs, which means that it's an identifiable cost as a result of an identifiable medical condition that translates into an identifiable need. So using insurance premiums to pay for this through these intermediaries is like trying to insure a house after it caught on fire. We're using premiums to buy healthcare, and we're using premiums to buy prescriptions. There are too many middlemen. And the PBM is at the top of the list. The PBM, in my opinion, serves no purpose at all. And we're, you know, if we just recognize that a solution to mitigate the impact of this in the private sector for group-sponsored health insurance plans, the independent pharmacy community should be selling their services directly to their local employers and cut out the middlemen completely. We're focused on transparency. Well, that's illusory, because all that does is, you know, portray the cost of the PBM charging the plan. You know, now, how much is the PBM adding to that cost? It doesn't say that. They talk about rebates. You know, that is an absolute, in my opinion, absurd device. It's no more valuable than overpaying your taxes and getting a tax refund.
You know, you read the script, Howard, you know, here, because those are exactly the questions I was going to ask you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, that's great, you know,
that's my view. Cut out the rebates, cut out the baloney, get to the core issue, and begin to educate the average employer as to how much the pharmacies at the retail end are being underpaid and how much the plans are being overcharged at a 7% compounded inflation rate, because it's tied to premiums. And right. If we get the middlemen out of the way and stop this constant drumbeat of what's Congress going to do, what's the state legislature is going to do, you know, what are we going to do about PBMs? Simple, take the business away from them and go from there.
Now, I like your philosophy, Howard, but that's not that easy, right? You're not going to take away a multi-billion-dollar industry. You know, you look at just what, you know, Optum posted in fourth quarter earnings, and that's not something that any company is going to allow. You know, United Healthcare is not going to just allow those billions of dollars to just disappear overnight. So it is going to take some legislation to get there. I like your philosophy. We can certainly do it in small pockets, but overall, it's still a long road in this whole PBM reform. So what are some legislative activities that could help us get closer to that goal that you have?
Well, one point, and then I want to address your question. You raised the point of Optum, and they're not going to let you take it. They're not going to give it up. You're right. That's why you don't do business with those people. There are insurance resources by which an employer can take control of the program. And a pharmacy that's providing a benefit in-house can take that in-house. But when you go to United Healthcare and you go to Blue Cross and you go to Aetna, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. You need to be exposed to those insurance resources that allow you to accomplish what we just talked about. With regard to legislation, I think competition breeds solution. And therefore, the vertical integration of the PBMs into the infrastructure of the health insurance companies, where United Healthcare had set the standard when they created Optum, and that was in-house. Well, since that time, Caremark and Aetna are in-house. Ingenio and RX and Anthem Blue Cross are in-house. You know, Optum is in-house. Express Scripts and Cigna are in-house. That needs to stop. And therefore, when an employer goes out to get quotes for insurance, they should also be allowed to shop a PBM. And that the PBM is shopped independently of the insurance carrier. And therefore, the competitive pricing and model of that PBM should be compared.
And so, Howard, let's just recap that real quick for those who don't know, and let's look at this real quick, because you just described this very, very beautifully. This is the vertical integration with healthcare today. You mentioned, you know, United Healthcare. This is actually a couple of years past. It's even more integrated today.
Right.
And here we are today. This is now also integrating the providers, owning the providers. So this is everything you just explained. United Healthcare owning their own PBM, owning their own specialty pharmacy, now owning the providers or the right. physicians. Same thing with Express Scripts and Cigna, their relationship, of course, the CVS and Aetna relationship, and also now owning the physician network through their Minute Clinics.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and this is a very interesting portrayal, and I appreciate the fact that somebody's taking the time to begin to expose that. Just this past week, the government disallowed a merger between JetBlue and Spirit Airlines because they said it would cut competition. Well, that's a drop in the bucket. This is what needs to be broken apart, the same way that they broke AT&T apart years ago. Every component needs to be separate from each other, from the networks to the administrative function, to the insurance function, to the pharmacy function, across the board. And and now private equity firms have gotten into the act as well, which exacerbates the problem. There has to be a complete unbundling of this entire system. And when you have that unbundling, Main Street becomes the management force, not Wall Street.
Well, Howard, I love that you used the unbundling, because that's been a big point of view from my standpoint for many years. And I've talked to Doug Hoy at NCPA and others that are involved in legislative activities, even just to start unbundling the individual networks within the PBM would be helpful to pharmacy today. So think about that. Optum bundles in all of these other workers' comp networks and managed care networks, and they put them all in one package deal. Express Scripts is actually the first one to do that. So Optum just learned from Express. They had a separate work comp network called Express Comp, but then they saw too many pharmacies were carving that out and saying, okay, we'll take your Medicare and your health plans, but we don't want the workers' comp. They would carve that out in their contracting. And so they wised up to that, and they just canceled the contract and rolled all of those patients into one network. Well, Optum did the same thing. They rolled in Catamaran, Cypress Care, now Timasys, all into a bundle. And pharmacies don't get the choice today. They it's all or nothing. If you want the 65 million lives in United, you have to take their whole network of all of these bundled systems, which are not in the best interest, obviously. If a pharmacy wants to provide services to 65 million on the commercial or on the healthcare side, but they don't want to have to be locked into a horrible contracted rate with Cypress or Timasys. Why do they have to be locked into that? Well, that's the whole hostage thing, right? It's all or nothing. So would that be a good place to start, is getting them to just at least unbundle those networks?
So they have to. I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you look at the earnings reports from United Healthcare, more than half their income, not revenue, net income, comes from prescriptions.
Yep.
And United Healthcare is a retail store of prescriptions without having to invest in the inventory or the infrastructure to distribute it and deliver it.
Right.
It's a Wall Street creation. It's not a healthcare creation. It's a Wall Street creation. And then all of the regulations and everything else that have made this much more complex is adding cost with the government interference, not reducing cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, can you think of some good headway that we have made in reform today? Is what comes to mind when you think of you know, things that have come to pass that has taken a long time, but we have started to push back some on these big monopolies?
Well, I'm not an expert in the inside baseball and internal infrastructure of the pharmacy industry. What I look at is what are the component cost centers and how do we get a better result? And therefore, what I've looked at is how do we get a better cost for what a group is buying for a plan based on those components. And we focused on the small and medium-sized employer at the local level, because the thing that comes to mind when we talk about the macro picture from the top down is futility, top to bottom. Costs are driven from the ground up. They're not controlled from the top down. And everybody is indoctrinated to look from the top down. And nobody is looking from the ground up. We're looking from the ground up. I want you to think about something here for a second, Breck. In a perfect world, but just a little hypothetical. From what I've learned, there are still about 19,000 independent retail pharmacies in this country. Am I fairly close? Is that a fairly accurate number? All right. Now, regardless of the size of a group, if every pharmacy just work directly with one employer in their community, just one, that takes 19,000 employers out of the hands of the PBM. 19,000. That's a pretty good start. And it's not hard to do. And you're not going to do it by going to United Healthcare. And you're not going to do it by going to Wall Street, Washington, or your state capital. You do it by the pharmacy talking to the employer. It's done on Main Street. K Street, not Wall Street, Main Street. We've done it. We're doing it. Now, are we making an impact overall? No, we're not. Are we making an impact for that individual pharmacy? Yes, we are. For that local employer? Yes, we are. And that's, quite frankly, a way to mitigate what's happening to a degree. If, there's some forward-thinking, proactive approaches at the grassroots level, not the top-down level.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. As far as legislation goes, that's pretty tough because these PBMs are financing these political campaigns. And just a couple years ago, I was reading about attempts in the state of Kentucky, to be able to take their Medicaid program out of the hands of the PBM. And I was looking at the quotes of some of the legislators there that were advocating for the PBM because they were believing that the PBM saves them money, and if they took the PBM away, it would cost them money. Now, how can that possibly be the case with any logical thinking human being that by removing a middleman, your costs go up?
Yeah,
that's what you're fighting against.
Yeah, it's a total misconception, right? And my expertise background has been 20 plus years in the workers' comp side, and I know what that spread is. The PBM is pocketing $80 to $100 every transaction, and they don't even own the medication. The poor independent pharmacy owns the medication, has the overhead, dispenses it. Today, community pharmacy is expected to dispense about 1/3 of their total prescriptions below their acquisition cost of the med. But the PBM on the work comp side still putting $100 in his pocket. So back to your model, if you had that $100 to work with, you could give part of that back to the employer, right? And give a fair reimbursement to the pharmacy.
That's right. If you take the premium off the cost of healthcare and you use premium strictly to protect against the unknown, but not premium added to the base cost of insurance that protects against the unknown. That is funding for what's already identifiable and already there. The cost of everything deflates component by component. But the biggest deficiency is nobody knows what their costs are. They're going to insurance agents to buy healthcare. They're going to insurance agents to buy prescriptions. And I've met with employer after employer. I said, have you ever had your local pharmacy professional involved in any of these evaluation meetings to help give you guidance as to what's going on? No. But you've got to an insurance agent. So the example that we've used very often is, look, if you have a diabetic that's in the group, you don't need an actuary to determine if they're going to be a diabetic. You don't need an underwriter to determine if they're going to be a diabetic. They're a diabetic. Now, when you have, that as a scenario, when you get quotes from the insurance companies, all you're doing is getting quotes for markup. Because the cost of the drug is the cost of the drug, period. But how much more is it with the two middlemen?
Right.
All right. So wouldn't it make more sense to go to the pharmacy and work a deal out with him directly instead of an insurance agent? So I ask an employer, if you had a choice as to where you would get a better result in dealing with, a cost center like this, going to a pharmacy professional or an insurance agent, 100% of them say, of course you go to the pharmacy professional. And 100% of them are going to an insurance agent, including pharmacies that are insuring their own staff, with these premiums and buying their own product back from these insurance companies at unconscionable markups. And they're in the business and they don't even know what they're being charged behind the scenes for their own product. And that's what's wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do you help independent community pharmacies transition? It's an educational process, I'm sure.
It is. But it's very, very simple, Brick. It really is. I got into this because I did this for myself years ago. I'm a former business owner. The thing that I probably know the least about is insurance. But with a background in accounting, I'm interested in the cost relationship, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Net cost per service, all right? And the thing that teed me off is I couldn't find out what my costs were. And I had about 25 employees at the time. This goes back a number of years. And I found a way to get some of that information. When I saw what the spread was between premium and reality, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I don't care who the agent is. If you can't give me an opportunity to know what we're buying, I'm not going to do this. So I set a budget. This is what we've done for the pharmacy. Set a budget at the time that I did it for myself based on the premium I was being charged at the time. And I kept the benefits the same, but I stripped everything out of the policy I possibly could. And at that time, you couldn't strip out as much as you can today. I didn't have to increase my budget for the next 6 years. I had money left over every year. So I'll go to a pharmacy. I said, look, this is what these companies are charging you right now. They're already telling you how much money they want from you. That's your budget. Now let's see how much of a spread in terms of that fixed premium against the underlying cost of insurance and administration, with a cap over which you are protected. And see if there's the kind of spread here that makes it logical for you to control the funding and the carriers take the risk for what's unknown. And I'd say 80% of the time, the spread is justifiable and the infrastructure of handling this we have. And I have many employer groups, including pharmacies, whose budget for benefits today, based on that method, is no higher than the premium they were paying 5 years ago. And they're sitting on six-figure surpluses.
Wow.
Does that happen 100% of the time? No. But if you get the middlemen out of the way everything's relative to premium. So the cumulative cost of premium over that period of time, regardless of claims, will always be higher than the cumulative cost of the net the net services used, the net cost of those services used. And that's, you know, what we have to pay attention to. So the things that are working against people is, number one, the decision makers are too far removed from the detail involvement of recognizing that decision. That's number one. Number two, people are buying based on fear and not taking the time to search out facts. The facts belie the fear. You can't predict what your claims are going to be. No one can. But you can predict that if you remove the middleman, the cost of the same thing is going to be less. It's no more complex than that.
Yep, absolutely. So, Howard, how many pharmacies have you helped so far?
About 2.5 dozen.
Okay.
It's not easy. I got to tell you, it's not easy. But we're looking all the time.
Yeah.
And there are some pharmacies we really like to be able to help, but in some states, the regulations and restrictions make it untenable.
Okay.
The West Coast and the Northeast.
Yeah. Surprise. So if a independent pharmacy owner is interested in your model, how do they reach you, Howard?
Oh, listen, if they will call us, our phone number is 314-997-8865. We're on LinkedIn. They can go to our website, ECCHIC.com. And we'll help anybody. And we've helped pharmacies with as few as 5 employees. This myth that you have to be a big company to do this, you don't. You see, there's a lot of terminology, Breck, thrown around. You know, self-funding, this funding, that funding. Look, every single plan, no matter how you do it, is self-funded to a degree and fully insured past that degree. You know, if you take a group of 10 or 15 or 20 people, and let's say they're paying Blue Cross $15,000 a month. If they don't pay that $15,000 to Blue Cross in January, they won't buy them an aspirin in February. So they are self-funded by being pre-funded. It's a full premium. And past that point, they're fully insured. Now, if you change that model and the claims reserve component of that premium is now controlled by the employer, and they minimize the premium cost that they're paying and the administrative cost, all right, then they're funded. And past a certain point, they're fully insured. So the insurance companies use the term fully funded.
Right.
Well, there's no such thing. Because now the group health insurance world, by virtue of the ACA Act, has unlimited, you know, lifetime benefit, right? How do you fully fund Infinity? You can't.
Exactly. All exactly.
Right. You're self-funded by being pre-funded or funded, but you're always fully insured. And the terminology belies the reality.
Now, Howard, do you ever go directly to employer groups or do you start with the pharmacy?
We go to employer groups all the time.
Okay.
We would like to be able to collaborate with as many pharmacies as we possibly could. And if that pharmacy has a recommendation for a local agent that is trustworthy, we'll collaborate with anybody. As a matter of fact, Breck, there's a pharmacy in Kentucky who sold his pharmacy recently, and he just got his insurance license. I'm going down there at the end of this week, and he's going to bring his knowledge to the marketplace with our, you know, support to show them how to use the insurance system.
Oh, what a great fit. A great fit.
It really is. And I will tell you that if these pharmacies would get just the license, the help that could be, you know, could be arranged to be able to really, you know, now make a dent. When I say take the business away, take it away from United Healthcare, Blue Cross, Aetna, the PBMs thereby, because there are insurance resources that give them the ability and the means to accomplish what we're talking about.
Wow. Wow. Game changer. Game changer. So, Howard, is there anything at all that we haven't covered that you would want the Pharmacy Podcast Network to know?
The solution in the private sector outside of Medicare and Medicaid does exist. If, you know, your people want to be proactive, forward thinking, and get teed off enough, like I was, to decide enough is enough, quite frankly.
Yeah. Very good. Very good statement. So, well, thank you, Howard Danzig, president of ECCHIC out of St. Louis, which is the home of one of the big three, right? One of the big three PBMs.
Yes, this is about 10 minutes from my office.
Do you throw a rock every time you drive by?
Yeah. Listen, the rock doesn't really make the impression, but a boulder does.
Yeah, Boulder does. So yeah, you're trying to move boulders here. So yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much for being on and visiting with me today, Howard. It's been a pleasure. I've sat in on a couple of your webinars that you host, and it's always great information. So appreciate you being here and sharing with the Pharmacy Podcast Network on our PBM Reform podcast. And again, it's been our pleasure to have you here. Want to thank everyone for tuning in to the PBM Reform podcast on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. I'm your host, Breck Rice. And until next time, we look forward to bringing you additional information that will be extremely beneficial to your pharmacy in surviving this climate and fighting back on the PBMs that are taking so much of your profit away today. Thank you so much for listening in.
PBM reform is not a textbook process. This component of healthcare insurance will take time to figure out and will consist of many different players of the pharmaceutical supply chain. If you'd like to contribute information, data, or your own insights on PBM reform, please contact the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Send your email to publisher@pharmacypodcast.com or call us at 412-585-4001.